Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 129, The Power of Faith in Crisis, Faith Principles to Receive Your Miracle. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message via live stream from Fort Wayne, Indiana on May 17th, 2020.
But a lot of times, you find yourself in a situation where there's not a thousand with you, standing with you. Sometimes there's not even 10, and sometimes there's not even 2. So the question is, what can one person do? These last few weeks we've been studying, we've been talking about the power of faith. We've been talking about specifically, our theme has been Faith Principles to Receive Your Miracle. So we hope that these messages have been blessing you, because when you're in a crisis time, you really need to build your faith up. My pastor used to say, feed your faith, starve your doubts to death, let them die. That's a good way to live. Because the Bible says the justified, those who are right with God, shall live by faith. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Those that come to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So it's always important to keep our faith strong, to keep our faith fired up, energized, and active. So this morning we're going to study a specific story from the Bible, which has to do with what can God do with one person. So when you're out there feeling all alone and you feel like, I don't know if I can take any more, just one more thing and I'm finished. So what are you going to do? So I hope this story will help you a lot. 1 Samuel chapter 14 verse 6 says, perhaps the Lord will help us. This is a man named Jonathan speaking. For nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few. Can I repeat that? Perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing will hinder the Lord. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few. I guess you know where this message is going. So how much can God do with one person? You know, very often we know that something should be done, but then we're waiting for somebody else to do it. We live in a whole world full of people like that, just waiting for somebody else to do something about this problem. But a lot of times we're asking God for somebody to do something, and he's waiting on us to do something. So let's go to the book of 1 Samuel, the 14th chapter, and I'm just going to read through this story. It's an amazing story. It's about a hero that not too much is said about him in the Bible. His name is Jonathan. He was the best friend of David. You probably heard that part of the story, that Jonathan and David loved each other, and they made a covenant with each other. They exchanged their arms, they exchanged their coats, and did all the covenant kinds of things to have covenant with each other. And then, not too long after, Jonathan's life was cut short. But in this story, Jonathan is the hero. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 1 says, one day Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come on, let's go over to where the Philistines have their outpost. But Jonathan did not tell his father what he was doing. His father was King Saul. Meanwhile, Saul and his 600 men were camped on the outskirts of Gibeah around the pomegranate tree at Migron. Among Saul's men was Ahijah the priest, who was wearing the ephod, the priestly vest. Ahijah was the son of Ichabod's brother Ahitub, son of Phinehas, son of Eli, the priest of the Lord who had served at Shiloh. No one realized that Jonathan had left the Israelite camp. To reach the Philistine outpost, Jonathan had to go down between two rocky cliffs that were called Bozez and Sina. The cliff on the north was in front of Michmash, and the one on the south was in front of Geba. Let's go across to the outpost of those pagans, Jonathan said to his armor bearer. Perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle, whether he has many warriors or only a few. Do what you think is best, the armor bearer replied. I'm with you completely, whatever you decide. All right then, Jonathan told him. We'll cross over and we'll let them see us. If they say to us, stay where you are, we'll kill you. Then we will stop and not go to them. But if they say, come on up and fight, then we will go up. That will be the Lord's sign that he will help us defeat them. When the Philistines saw them coming, they shouted, look, the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes. Then the men from the outpost shouted to Jonathan, come on up here and we'll teach you a lesson. Come on, climb up right behind me, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, for the Lord will help us defeat them. Verse 13, so they climbed up using both hands and feet, and the Philistines fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer, killed those who came behind them. They killed some 20 men in all, and their bodies were scattered over about a half acre. Suddenly, panic broke out in the Philistine army, both in the camp and in the field, including even the outposts and the raiding parties. And just then, an earthquake struck, and everyone was terrified. Saul's outlooks in Gibeah and of Benjamin saw a strange sight. The vast army of the Philistines began to melt away in every direction. Call the roll and find out who's missing, Saul ordered. And when they checked, they found out that Jonathan and his armor bearer were gone. Then Saul shouted to Ahijah, bring the ephod here. For at that time, Ahijah was wearing the ephod in front of the Israelites. But when Saul was talking to the priest, the confusion in the Philistine camp grew louder and louder. So Saul said to the priest, never mind, let's get going. Then Saul and all his men rushed out to battle and found the Philistines killing each other. There was terrible confusion everywhere. Even the Hebrews who had previously gone over to the Philistine army revolted and joined in with Saul, Jonathan, and the rest of the Israelites. Likewise, the men of Israel who were hiding in the hill country of Ephraim joined the chase when they saw the Philistines were running away. Verse 23, so the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle continued to rage even beyond Beth Avon. So, Father, we just thank you today for a story of victory, for a story of encouragement, for a story of courage and strength in the face of a crisis. We thank you, Father, for a story of faith in the face of a crisis. And we just ask you, Father, that you would download into our spirits everything that we need to face whatever crisis has come into our lives, whether it be this COVID-19 thing, coronavirus, or some other things, some other issues, things with jobs, things with families, things with homes, things with personal thing, struggles, Lord. We just ask you for a download from your spirit this morning, Father, that you will fill us with courage, that you will fill us with boldness, and Father, that our faith will not fail, but Father, that our faith will rise up to meet the challenge, every challenge that we face. And for it, we thank you in Jesus' name. We give you glory, we give you honor and praise, for with you, nothing is impossible. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what an awesome story, but it's not just a story. It really is God's instruction to us for times such as these that we live in. So let's just take a little closer look at a few of those verses and a few of the aspects of those verses. So the first thing I want to talk about is decisions. You know, my pastor used to say often, Dr. Lester Sumrall, he said, you make your decisions and your decisions make you. How often I've thought about that and saw the truth in that, in our own lives and in the lives of people around us. You make your decisions and your decisions make you. So the first point is really make good decisions. If we start out with making good decisions, then there's a possibility to take faith actions. But the question is, your decisions, are they crisis-driven or are they faith-based? Jonathan and his armor-bearer were sitting in an impossible situation between two steep, sharp, rocky cliffs. You might say they were between a rock and a hard place. They had a decision to make. Are we going to sit down here? Are we going to retreat? Are we going to fight? What are we going to do? And Jonathan made a decision. We're going to go. We're going to fight. We're going to test it out. We're going to make sure it's God. And then we're going forward. And so he said to his armor bearer, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to advance. We're going to go to this outpost. You see, the outpost would have been the group of raiders that were the more or less the watchtower, or the watch post for the rest of the Philistine army. So they were an important group of people that would warn the rest of the army when the Israelites were advancing. So if you could take out the watchtower, if you could take out the outpost, very likely you could get to the enemy camp and cause some confusion and destruction. So Jonathan said, well, let's just test this out. And if they say this, then we'll stop. If they say that, then we'll go. And we'll know that God is going to give them into our hands. So make good decisions. Make faith-based decisions. You see, sometimes those things defy logic. Sometimes they don't make sense to the head. Probably was, in the eyes of many people, a foolish thing to do for these two men to leave the main army and to leave the camp, when already the 600 people that were in that camp were outnumbered by the Philistine armies. Didn't make sense. Wasn't logical. Wasn't a good move. Wasn't a good strategy. Wasn't good a good strategic move to take out the enemy. But inside of Jonathan, something was stirring. He said to his armor-bearer, come on, let's go. And the other thing about it was, they didn't tell everybody. You know, sometimes you have to know who you're going to talk to. Sometimes you get some things from God in your spirit, and you just want to tell everybody. And of course, sometimes, you know, it's time to share your things, to share your faith, to share things with somebody. But sometimes, when God has called you to a mission, you have to pick and choose who you're going to talk to about it. You know, the Bible kind of says it this way. It says, it doesn't kind of say it, it just actually says, don't cast your pearls before swine. Now, that's not just to be demeaning to other people, but the reality is that some people won't accept what you have to say. They won't accept what you believe in your heart. They won't accept your convictions. They won't accept your stand. They won't accept your way of life. They won't accept your faith. And many times they'll try to talk you out of what God has sent you to do. So you have to be careful about that. Jonathan and the armor bearer, they didn't tell anybody. They didn't even tell his father, who was the commander in chief. I'm not encouraging insubordination or lack of submission, but there are some things where it's you and God, and you have to go for it. The second thing is when you're out there and you're faced with a crisis, you have to put your complete trust in God. Where is your trust? You know, it's the place where logic versus boldness, boldness of faith. Sometimes things don't make logical sense, especially when you're in a crisis and you don't know what to do and you don't know which way to turn and you're seeking God and you're looking for answers. You know, there are lots of ways that we can get guidance from God. The first and foremost primary way is to get in His Word. Sometimes people say to me, you know, Pastor, do you have a word for me? Yeah, I have a lot of them. I have a whole Bible full of them. Which one would you like? You know, you really have to get in there and read the Bible for yourself and check it out for yourself, because God has lots of words for you. And when He quickens a word on the inside of you, like He was speaking to Sarah this morning about that psalm, You know, it's God speaking to you through His Holy Spirit. The Word says that His Bible, the Bible, the Word of God, is inspired by Him and was given for our instructions. Those stories, the stories and the principles and the things laid out in the Word, they're for your instruction. And it even says in one place, especially for those on whom the ends of the earth has come. So, as we see the signs of the times and we see the things that are going on around us, you know, perhaps more than ever, we need to be in His Word. And furthermore, if we're going to have a boldness of faith, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. So if we want to have a strong faith and be encouraged, you can't just have heard it once or twice or three times or six times. There's no limit to how many times you can hear the Word of God. But when you hear it on the inside of you, when it starts to resonate on the inside of you, that's really hearing the Word of God. And the faith comes by that kind of hearing, by revelation knowledge coming on the inside of you. It just, it's hard to explain to people, you know. They say, well, how do you know? How do you know that that Word is for you? I don't know how you know. You just know. You know that you know that you know. You just have that conviction on the inside because now it's become real and alive to you. The Bible, the Word of God, is a living thing. It's living, and the Bible says it even divides asunder the sword and the spirit, the soul, the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the soul and the spirit, and it discerns even the thoughts and the intents that we have in our heart. So the Word of God, quickened by the Holy Spirit, is what brings faith, and faith becomes then the substance of the things we hope for. It becomes the evidence of the things that we cannot see. So when Jonathan and this armor bearer were facing the enemy, they couldn't know empirically that they would win the battle because they were outnumbered. They couldn't know empirically that they were they would win the battle because they were at a disadvantage from where they were. They were between these two cliffs, and they were down below the vantage point that this raiding party, this outpost, had over them. So sometimes logic just doesn't cut it. But inside, they knew the answer. Inside, Jonathan knew the answer. And thankfully, his armor bearer had the sense to say, you know what? I trust the God who's inside of you. I trust the faith that you have. And I'm with you. I'll back you up 100%. Loyalty like that is hard to find, but it is possible to find. You can tell when people are knitted together with you and when they're just hanging out around you. But God wants to raise up a people of faith, and He wants all indecision to be left behind, indecision, the enemy of faith, and He wants boldness of faith over logic. So it's kind of like this. Well, the scripture there says that while everybody else waited to make a move, Jonathan believed that one plus God is a majority. And in essence, he said, let's go. The Lord can take care of us, whether we are many or whether we are few. He can do it. He will do it. So it's kind of like this. You have to dare to go so far out on the limb that if God doesn't catch you, you're sunk. If the limb breaks. When you know that your faith is in God, don't settle for logic, your logic or anyone else's logic. So the first thing was, make good decisions. The second is, put your complete trust in God. Number three, then you have to be ready when God strikes. 1 Samuel 14:15 says, suddenly panic broke out on the Philistine army, and just then an earthquake struck, and everyone was terrified. So the faith results of these two men that advanced on the enemy, the faith results followed them. Those faith results were mayhem from heaven against the enemy. Amazing thing happened. First they panicked, and then an earthquake came and struck, and everybody was terrified. So the question is, who do you think sent the panic, and who do you think sent the earthquake in response to Jonathan's faith? Of course, it was God. So when you make a good decision, and when you put your complete trust in God, be ready when he strikes. You don't have to be looking for signs and all those things. You will see when the hand of God is moving. You will see. You will see things change. You will see the power of God released. You will see the shaking of God come, and God will use you in a mighty way. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 34, it was speaking about the people of faith. It says that they quenched the flames of fire, and they escaped death by the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. You know, Hebrews chapter 11 is an amazing chapter to read. It's really a great encouragement, because there in that chapter you see that many imperfect people, sometimes weak people, made faith decisions that took them to a new level of victory and a new level of achievement and a new level of respect and a new level of power with God. Many people maybe didn't think they would be successful. Sometimes they were insecure themselves. But these men and women of faith that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11 were great men and women. And the one thing that they all had in common with us is they had big problems. They didn't become known as men, as women of faith, until they conquered the crisis that they faced. So the power of faith in crisis is really, really important if you want to have victory after victory. So now we've been in this COVID thing for some number of weeks, and you know, you hear a lot of voices, a lot of crazy voices and some sound wise voices perhaps, but in a lot of ways it seems like not very many people know what to do or how they should act or how they should respond or where they should go, and all of those kind of things. They're questions. You know, some of you will be going back to work this week. Some of you are still sidelined by some of the rulings and so forth and so on. Some things are closed, some things are open. The economy seems to be in trouble. But none of those things surprised God. And he's still a God of victory. And he's expecting you and me to be people of faith. In the middle of the crisis, at the beginning of the crisis, at the end of the crisis, faith is still the substance of things we hope for. It's still the evidence of things that we cannot see. So I want to encourage you today, even if it seems like it's only you that's left, take a stand. Be like Jonathan. And just remember, God can win the battle whether he has many or whether he has few. So don't feel like everything is lost because you're standing there alone, because you're not alone. He's with you. The Bible says he'll be with you everywhere that you go. Praise God. So what do we take away from this? Well, really, it's that God is looking for you and God's depending on you, because he created you for this time and for this era. It's an amazing story in the Bible about Esther, a woman of faith, how she had to make a decision one day that perhaps she was called to the kingdom for such a time as this. She was there at a specific time. She was born in a specific era, and she was born with a mission on her life. And when you begin to see the mission that God has called you for, then you can take a stand. You can take a stand of faith. Nobody's left out, because the Bible says that everybody, every person has a part to play in the kingdom of God. Everybody that believes in Jesus is a member of the body of Christ. And the Bible explicitly teaches that we can't do without each other. That every person that's called, every person that calls on the name of the Lord, they're not only saved, but they're placed into a body with a specific function, with a specific purpose. So all we have to do is find out what's mine. What is mine? What am I supposed to be doing? So if you're uncertain about that, or you're unsure of that, just begin to seek God about it. Just say, God, okay, I know that I can't do everything, and I'm not called to do everything, but I am called to do something. So what part is mine? How do you want to use me? How do you want to use me today? And you know, when you're faithful in the small things, God will give you responsibility for greater things. Well, maybe you don't want more responsibility, but welcome to the army now. Because you're in the army, and this is boot camp. And when we have crises, then boot camp gets tough. But this is the time for God's people to rise and shine, because their light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon them. Behold, darkness covers the earth, and gross darkness the people. But God's light will shine big in His people as they rise up and advance in the face of the enemy. So God is really just looking for one person who will step out in faith. And when He finds that person, He starts to move. What if you're that person? Take the first step. Make your move. And then watch God make His move. You say, can it be as simple as that? You can read about it over and over and over in the Bible. People who made a decision, took some faith steps, achieved great, awesome victories from God. In verse 32 of Hebrews chapter 11, the writer says, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and of all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. And then it goes on. But I was thinking about just that short list of people. You know, he's saying, it take too long to tell all these stories about these guys. But when you look at the people that he's talking about, they were all people who had issues. Maybe with the exception of Samuel, you know, pretty much everything written about him is good. But think about Gideon. Gideon was afraid. Gideon was hiding in his wine press, just trying to thresh out enough grain for his family to keep them alive in a famine. He was insecure. He thought he was from the least of the tribes and the least family in the tribe and the least of the least of the least. But God said, you're a great man of valor. It didn't look like the picture he saw of himself, but he overcame that by seeking God. And yes, he asked for some signs and sought after God, and he got his confirmations, and then he had a big army, and then God reduced his army, and that little army of 300 men. With God, they defeated the whole camp of the Midianites. So maybe he wasn't such a great person to start with, but when he made good decisions, when he threw away his logic, which had gotten him nowhere, and began to trust in God, he got great, great victories. How about Barak? Barak was the guy who was supposed to fight Sisera, and he wouldn't fight unless Deborah, the prophetess, went with him. I don't know what that says about him, but the Bible says that because he did that, he wouldn't get the honor for the win. It would go to a woman. And then the one who actually killed King Sisera was a woman in a tent that put a peg through his head after feeding him some milk. Wow. So Barak, obviously, he was probably a very good fighter, but maybe he had some issues, I don't know. And then there's Samson. Wow, the tales we could tell about Samson. He was a womanizer. He couldn't keep his fly zipped. And he had big issues. He was a big man. He was a powerful man. He had an anointing of God. And in the end, he still killed more enemies in his death than he ever killed in his life. But what a way to go. He's listed in the Hall of Faith. And then there's Jephthah. I didn't really research so much about Jephthah, and I don't really remember all of the stories. And then there's David. David had some problems too, some issues. And yet he was called the friend of God. Sometimes you think about that and you think, how could somebody do that, still be the friend of God, and write Psalm 91? Doesn't make sense. But you know, it's not about logic. It's about faith. And it's about a heart after God. And we can learn many, many, many lessons by looking at the lives of these people. We receive warnings about how we should live. We receive warnings about how we should overcome. We can receive information and instruction. We can learn the principles of faith from them. But then when it comes down to it, it's just you and God. So what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do with your faith? What are you going to do with your faith this week? How are you going to use it this week? It's kind of like muscles, you know. If you don't use them, they get flabby. And then when you start advancing in age, wow, amazing things can happen. But you don't have to let those things happen. As those things advance, you know, you can fight back. But put your trust in God. Make your good decisions. Be like these people that overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. Make good decisions. Put your complete trust in God, and be ready when God strikes. So this morning, we're going to attempt to have a discussion time again. So we have some people in the room. We have some people via Zoom. So Tanya and Thomas are going to help us with those on Zoom, and we'll try to moderate from here in the sanctuary. But the key scripture that we're looking at, it's in your flyer that you received either by email or you received today as you came in, is a scripture from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. It says, "By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.